the sink.
It was pretty good, right?
It was perfect on your my
clap.
End.
Me too. Your clap was so loud it like blew out your gate. I didn't even hear your clap. Yeah. It was so supersonic. That's what it was. Ooh, like yeah. That Hulk clap. Wrong show. Okay. Hey everyone, my name is Bo.
And my name is Mike.
And this is a very special episode of
Tope Suicida! That's what wrestling can be, and Bo said it was a very special episode, and he's exactly correct, because we are celebrating Black History Month this episode.
Right. If you follow us and our shows and the things we talk about, wrestling is a very multicultural thing, you know? It's in almost every country, the weird entertainment version of it somehow.
Yeah.
And so we like to champion that all the time, but February is a special month. That it's Black History Month, so Mike and I thought, okay, it's our duty as two white men to amplify artists.
That's our duty.
Performers.
That's our
it
duty.
It is, as our allyship, it really
wake
is.
Wake up and just, you know, you put that badge on when you wake up, man. That's part of the gig. And you step out that door, and you just wear that badge with pride, man. That's your duty. To amplify.
Our two white guys doing a wrestling podcast, you know, we're a dime a dozen. So
that's true. Throw a dart and you'll hit one of us. Like no, but it's good for us to step back and take a look and sort of have some perspective on the people and the personalities that shaped the business that did not necessarily definitely get enough credit at the time, because that's how everything is. That's how history is, right? And wrestling history is no different. So
yeah. When did Ron Simmons, what year? Do you remember what year that was where he won? Which belt was it again? Was it the world title, I believe?
World
WCW?
Yep. Yep. And I think it was 93. And it was against Vader.
So yeah, we watched that in one of the shithouse matches.
Yeah.
But that was 93. It's not very long ago as, you know, the first world championship black man to win the title, you know?
Yeah.
It's not a long time ago. So what I did, Mike, is I know there's still a long way to go, but I gathered all our black champions, our current champions that are men and women of color.
Oh, cool.
And it's quite an extensive list, bigger than I thought, and that's really cool. So I want to go through that.
Okay.
I tried to go through every company that I could think of. I didn't check New Japan. That might be just an assumption, a biased assumption on my part, but I probably should have, but here we are. So Big E is the IC champ currently.
Right.
I thought, since we don't really watch the product, you always think Sami Zayn's the champion because he's always talking about how he's the champion. But apparently he lost it and he's just mad that he's not the champion. So Big E. And I think I wanted to highlight also the New Day in general, their Xavier Woods and Kofi. Because I know we've talked about their, when that gimmick, the New Day gimmick arrived, it was a very, not tongue-in-cheek, but not blatant, but pretty obvious stereotypical black preacher, Baptist preacher gimmick.
It seemed weird for sure.
It sucked.
It sucked. It seemed patronizing and like deaf.
That was, and that was, if you're not keeping up with the wrestling, we hope you do, but that was, 7 years ago, maybe?
Oh, wow.
It's very recent. It's not an old New Day. They've been around, but they're still not super old in the grand scheme of things. You know? But yeah, the New Day, their success in general, they've been the tag champs for like a billion times. Also, Lashley is the U.S. champ.
Okay.
I'm not a huge fan of Lashley in general. I know you like Lashley a lot, don't you?
He was my pick to win the Rumble, baby. Didn't happen.
He's the U.S. champ. And then his buddies in the Hurt Business, which is MVP's little a group. Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander are the Raw Tag Team Champs. Sasha Banks is the SmackDown Women's Champion currently.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't throw this in as a joke, but it's seen as a joke. R-Truth, Ron Killings, he's the 24/7 champ. He got it back.
He got it back from Rosenberg. And he got it back from Alicia Fox.
Right. And she's not on this list, but another wonderful black woman of wrestling.
Yes, Alicia was the 24/7 champ, real quick, and also obviously former women's champion.
Yeah. She's great. And the fact I feel like Vince knows that she's great because she's been there. She's never been let go through everything. She's always there. She's like a constant.
Yeah.
Alicia Fox. She's always there. But same with R-Truth. What I was gonna say is, while the 24/7 belt feels like a joke.
Yeah.
R-Truth in his entire career at WWE has kind of been turning shit joke gimmicks into gold.
Yeah.
And I just think he's been doing that for like over 20 years, and he's a massive talent. So I felt bad not including him on the list, even though his championship is kind of a joke belt.
But he makes that championship. Yeah, he makes that belt. Like it's a silly, you know, I mean, so is the hardcore title where you can lose it. You know, you can lose it at any time. You can lose it in the shower. You can get pinned, you know, like it's dumb. But also, Truth is hilarious and super fun to watch. And like any excuse to have more R-Truth on TV is great.
I was going to say that's probably why he has it, because without him around the belt amplifying that scene on TV, like, why does the belt doesn't matter? Because there's nothing fun happening with it. But when R-Truth is there, it's fun.
Yeah.
We're going to leave the WWE.
Okay.
And head over to Impact Wrestling.
Special shout out to Shelton Benjamin, by the way.
This is like a second
dynamite.
Him and Lashley both almost like a second career jump with these two right now.
Yeah.
Because I think they both, WWE, then they left for Impact, were there for a bit.
Uh huh.
Bouncing around, and now they're back.
Yeah.
And they're doing great.
Yeah. It's awesome. We got to check out some Shelton Benjamin. Like Shelton Benjamin versus Shawn Michaels on Raw was unbelievable back in the day. It was so good. And his stuff with Charlie Haas is the world's greatest tag team. We still have not watched them compete yet on this show. Oh, they're fucking awesome, man. They're so good. And they wrestled Eddie and Chavo a bunch. So you know that shit was good.
That sounds great.
Yep.
Yep. So we're at Impact, though. We have the current Impact World Championship. Champion is our guy, Rich Swann.
Right.
He's still the champ. Not a champ, I wanted to mention Moose, because I know you kind of fell in love with Moose the brief time you saw him. You fell instantly in love with Moose.
I had a Peter Avalon moment where I was like, I had to fan myself off to keep from fainting when I saw Moose.
You're like, oh, he's really big. Oh. And then the camera zoomed in, you're like, oh, is he covered in tattoos?
What a man.
Is he covered in cool tattoos?
I needed a cool lemonade to get over.
Now, I've only seen these two women briefly, but Fire and Flava are the Impact Knockouts Championship, so the women's tag champions.
Oh, okay.
They're Kiera Hogan, which you might be familiar with. And then I think Kiera Hogan was in the Mae Young, maybe.
Ooh.
Classic. Okay. Maybe.
Okay.
And then Tasha Steelz, which I've seen Tasha Steelz wrestle, and she's wonderful and has a good gimmick.
Yeah.
And they're the tag champs.
I saw, Tasha Steelz wrestled on NWA Power, I think. I think that's where I saw her.
Ooh, yes. Yep. Yeah. Yep. I think so.
Yep.
So now we are moving to Ring of Honor.
Okay.
So the current Ring of Honor Pure Champion, which I'll admit, I don't know what this belt is. I don't watch Ring of Honor. When I did, this belt wasn't around.
Oh, but baby, you're about to spoil my favorite wrestler.
Is it Jonathan Gresham?
Yeah.
Really? Because he's the only one on here. I said my touch point for him was when he played Suicide in TNA in 2016. He had one match as Suicide.
Oh. See, I don't know.
That roving gimmick. But yeah, that's okay. We'll talk about that in a bit.
Okay.
But I have that's cool. I can't wait to hear it because I don't know anything about him.
Cool.
But I do know everything about his tag partner in the Foundation, who are the ROH Tag Team Champs. He, Jonathan Gresham, and Mr. Jay Lethal, which...
Oh, yeah.
We got to watch Jay Lethal stuff because he's always in ring. He's like a Ring of Honor faithful. He was in TNA for a bit.
Yeah.
But like, we don't watch Ring of Honor, so we're not exposed to Jay Lethal really ever. Sometimes New Japan, he was floating around.
TNA for a long time. That's where I knew Jay Lethal from, was just... every once in a while, like being aware of TNA, and Jay Lethal was always awesome.
I believe, it went from TNA, then he transitioned to kind of being the ROH guy.
Yeah.
And then, but yeah, he's the tag champ with Jonathan Gresham, who's got two belts over there in ROH. Two belt Jonathan, we'll call him.
Couldn't happen to a cooler dude. than Jonathan Gresham. I even just love that name too. Jonathan Gresham. Like, it is so normal, like we're like mundane, I guess.
It's like amateur wrestler, right?
Right.
It's like coming to the mat, we have Jonathan Gresham versus Shoddy G. We have Shoddy G.
Shut up. All right.
All right, I got two more.
That's a sign we need to move on.
So that was the foundation. There's two more. Elijah Burke, which I have no familiarity with him, but he beat Zicky Dice to get the NWA TV title.
Elijah Burke is also known as Pope, right?
I don't know. Is he?
Let me double check and make sure that...
He looked much... I only looked at the thumbnail. I didn't click in. He looked much... Because Pope is kind of fucking built. He looked much, much, much thinner.
Yeah, no, he is the same. Same guy, Pope.
Oh, okay. Well, then Pope. I could have just said that then. I know Pope.
Pope is Elijah Burke.
I think in the past I've talked about not really liking Pope, but congratulations, Pope.
Yeah, no, well, and also Elijah Burke was part of WWECW as like one of the new breed or whatever they were called. Okay. And I thought he was an awesome wrestler. It was just like a bad time. You know, like
that's a bad time for wrestling. Mike, I didn't watch during that, yeah, so I have
bad.
No idea.
It was bad. But I thought I liked him in the ring. I thought he was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like his glasses, the one with the big cross. Like, no, or is that John Morrison? Do they have the same glasses?
You're thinking of Double J Jeff Jarrett.
Oh God, there's so many wrestlers with the glasses.
He has giant Double J glasses, is what you're thinking of.
Okay, and then the last one is Leo Rush. He's the middleweight champion at Major League Wrestling, MLW. We watched that match a few weeks ago in a spectacular event that I apologize, Mike, for profusely. I'm sorry that...
Yeah, it turned out bad. It turned out bad, but that's okay. It turned out bad.
Congratulations, Leo.
Leo does some really crazy stuff in the ring. He is, just a keg of dynamite, like a tiny keg of dynamite.
He's a guy Mike doesn't want to watch.
Well, no, that's not totally true. I really like the stuff he did in NXT with Garza for the cruiserweight title. That was really fun.
I don't know. That was recent, wasn't it? That was right before he left the company, or was that? How did I miss that? I stopped watching the cruiserweight show.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that was pretty soon before he would leave. But yeah, no, I think it's great. Now he's wrestling in New Japan and MLW. He's all over the place, and he's just gonna get bigger and bigger. He's gonna be awesome if he goes to AEW, because he's gonna wrestle Darby and stuff, and that's gonna be super neat.
Hey, we're in a place where anything can happen, and it is all happening right now in wrestling. It's all happening. Promotion wars we talked about, it's happening.
What do they say, pal? Anything can happen in the World Wrestling Federation, pal.
So do you make a show? Oh no, we don't make a show. We make movies.
We make movies. Wink, wink, wink. God.
So with that said, today on this show, we're gonna do what Mike and I do for these special shows. We're gonna each bring some matches. We're gonna watch them, come back and talk about them. I brought two. Mike brought one or two. How many did you bring?
Oh, I brought two.
Brought two. So we each have two. And at least the ones that I choose are from the same era of that video, that the movie we just referenced. So the 90s to the 2001s where Behind the Mat was truly being made, where my matches are from.
We make movies, pal.
We make movies.
Oh, God.
What are you going to puke? Huh?
Oh my God! He's gonna puke!
I like how small the shitty trash can is.
Oh my God! God damn it, Vince. Just guy's a great athlete. Can't he just be a wrestler? Can't they just be wrestlers? No? Okay. That's fine. That's fine. Whatever. It's okay.
But before we get to those matches, we have, of course, a wonderful show for you.
Yeah, we do, and that reminds me, because that means that I have a question for you. Now it's time to say who you really like. Who do you think is the neatest tights? Who would you pay to see pretend to fight? Who's your favorite? Who's your favorite? Who's your favorite wrestler?
Mike, I'm glad you asked me who my favorite wrestler is, and I feel like we might have one of those rare instances, a Don Callis event, where we have the same wrestler, but I don't want to speak out of school. But Mike, my favorite wrestler is Bianca Belair, who won the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. You and I were Marco Poloing back and forth during the Rumble.
Yeah.
Making jokes, but legit, we got quiet when there was no Marco Polos being sent when she was celebrating. Mike, I teared up, buddy. I see tears, then the tears come out. That's what happens. It's like, oh, Bianca's crying. Fuck. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm crying. Now I'm crying. Bianca's crying. She's pointing at the pirates. It's always pirates.
Welcome to Pirate Mania, pal.
And then I sent you that video of her parents watching it, the live react of her parents that she won.
Yeah.
Her dad falls off the couch. It's just so special.
Yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, she was your favorite wrestler a few weeks ago, but she's mine this week.
Fantastic pick. I always am down to have more Bianca Belair on the program. I hope she wins whatever big belt she wants to win.
Yeah, I heard a rumor that Bianca Belair is poised to be the next Charlotte Flair, the next Sasha Banks,
right,
the next Becky Lynch. So in that tier of women's competition.
Yeah.
In WWE, which is exciting for me, and I'm sure for you.
That doesn't make any sense, because that makes total sense.
I know, it does make perfect.
Like, it's the most obvious, perfect thing in the world, and I don't, like, I'll believe it when I see it.
Mike, I heard a rumor that fans of hers include Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, and Vince McMahon. Triple threat fan. She's gonna blow the fuck up, and the fans like her too, so
yeah.
It's not like Stephanie and Triple H and the fans all love Daniel Bryan and Vince is like, oh, he's too short. No, they all like her, so that's good.
Yeah, I don't know, you can't really, I don't know what you would point to with Bianca and say that's not that is not marketable as the biggest star we have. Like, she is the gimmick is the EST, but it's based in reality because she is such a phenomenal athlete. She
can fireman's carry Otis.
She was carrying Otis around like it was no big deal. I think she probably could have done a couple of laps around the ring with him if she'd wanted to. Also, I love how much pride and like satisfaction Otis had in himself. Like, that was like him being the test for her to carry. He loved it so much when he just like appeared from behind the steps and he was like, me. Like, yeah, me. Just really fun stuff. I don't care for the product, but that was good.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Mike, okay. So that's Bianca Belair. That's my favorite wrestler.
Great.
You led by example a few weeks ago, so I followed your lead. But this week, who's your favorite wrestler?
Yeah, a little bit of a spoiler early on. My favorite wrestler, Jonathan Gresham, who is the Pure Champion in Ring of Honor. And basically what that means, Bo, the Pure Championship was gone for quite a while, but they recently brought it back. And it is very strict pro wrestling rules.
So handshake at the beginning, which is where kind of Ring of Honor made that popular in the indie scene here in America, at least.
Yeah. So
handshakes are mandatory. Mandatory,
I mean,
shakes.
Yes. I mean, yeah, that's like not really. Yes. I mean, yeah, you got to shake somebody's hand. It's like the code of honor. Yeah. But
so it makes the match pure.
You know, no closed fists. If you use a closed fist, you get a warning. And then if you use a closed fist again and you're caught, you're disqualified.
That's fun.
Uh-huh. And then you also have limited numbers of rope breaks, which is basically how they did Pancrase back in the day in Japan, where you, which was shoot fighting with pro wrestling rules, essentially. And if you were caught in a submission hold, if you got to the ropes, the guy had to break it, just like, you know, pro wrestling. But if you did that, I believe, 5 times in a match in Pancrase, you would lose. And I believe it is 3 times in Ring of Honor. Like, you get 3 rope breaks, and then after that, there are no more rope breaks for you.
You have to get out of it yourself.
Yeah, so if you get to the ropes, it doesn't matter. They don't have to let go of the hold.
Yeah, it was good. And Jonathan Gresham is just a mat technician and a fantastic, fantastic wrestler. He is a smaller competitor. So, like, he would be competing as a, I believe he was in the junior heavyweight best of the super juniors in New Japan, if not last year, I think the year before. The dude is just awesome, and his gimmick is that he's a wrestler, and I love it.
I saw in the picture of him, he has a real big collar on his jacket, real big collar. The collar sticks up. It's a big collar that you love. I know you love a big collar. I think Jay Lethal has a big collar too, which makes sense if they're partners.
Oh, because I think last I saw Jonathan Gresham, he was wearing a robe. He wears a robe to the ring, like Daniel.
It might
like
have been a big collar up on the robe. Is what it, I don't know how old the thumbnail was. It was Wikipedia. Listen, so who knows? That's great. Anything else to say about the man?
Not about Jonathan, but I do have a couple of honorable mentions.
Oh, okay.
There are a few guys that I grew up watching that sort of hold a special place in my heart. Virgil, a.k.a. Vincent, right, in WCW, a.k.a. also Soul Train Jones.
Most recently seen on a Jericho segment some Dynamite ago. Who knows?
Yeah. Just like a really good wrestler and super underrated. And like in hindsight, it was a very shitty storyline that they put him in with being the Million Dollar Man's like butler.
But hey, you know, credits to him. He was the first NWO member to tell us that, hey, it's over. It did start going from there. Everyone started fucking joining the black and white brand, I put in quotes, and then they got bought and that was all over.
Yeah.
But yeah, Virgil. Anyone else?
Virgil, Junkyard Dog, which we talked about. Mm-hmm. I wanted to mention Bad News Brown or Bad News mm-hmm. Allen, who we talked about with our friend of the program, Caden Cassidy. Mm-hmm. As being one of his inspirations and kind of parts of his character being based on Bad News. It's just like a legit badass and a Olympic judo player and just,
yeah,
like an awesome, awesome wrestler. And then I feel like I want to throw Teddy Long a little love as a referee, as a manager, as a whatever, the GM of SmackDown or whatever, like
tag team lover, loves making tag team matches.
Have a tag team match.
That's so funny. It's funny because it got memed out, right? Where it's like, oh, here it comes again. And then he got fired, right? Yeah. But then they bring him back, and when he comes out, people are like, fuck yeah, tag team this shit up.
Yeah.
It's like the You Suck chant with Kurt Angle's song. It's just endearing now. There's no venom with it anymore.
No, it's great. I think he even called for a tag team match in his Hall of Fame induction.
What, two years ago?
Yeah, something. I don't know. But yeah. I feel like I wanted to throw some names out there of guys that deserve or that I would want to mention on this episode.
And when we mentioned him a lot, but Powerhouse Hobbs is a good up and comer.
Yes.
And also, if you watch Dark, we got Umbatu. He's also pretty fucking good. He's another powerhouse sized shithouse. He's usually in tag matches. I haven't seen him in a single run.
Yeah.
What's his name? The one with the gimmick we don't really like, but he's still a good wrestler. The king one. What's his name? Fuck. With the weird crown headpiece mask thing. He comes out. He's on Dark a lot. I forget. He's got so much going on with his trunks. He's got like the Triforce on it. He's got triangles everywhere.
Oh,
Baron Black. Baron Black. Is that his name?
I don't know.
Baron Black.
I don't know, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Shout out to him. Great wrestler, but the gimmick is goofy. He's going to come over and kill me.
He's going to beat you up. Yeah.
He's going to put the crown mask on me. It's why I have to wear it while he kicks my ass.
Going to straight up just beat your ass. Oh, also shout out to Sapphire, manager of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, during his time in the WWF as the common man.
God, Vince hated him.
Sapphire. Yeah. Sapphire and also wore the polka dots with Dusty.
Is Sapphire still with us?
I don't know.
Just a big pause. Huh.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I hope so.
Look that up later. I hope she's alive.
I hope so. All right. Well, now that all of those wonderful names are out of the way, I want to ask you something else, Bo.
All right, what do you got for me?
Number one, the title of this Is It Shit House is We Make Movies.
All right, everyone. I'm looking at a photo which appears to be taken in 1988 to 94. In there somewhere, yeah. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Do you know when it was taken?
No, but my guess is
probably 87, 88. Are those Reeboks? We got to figure out what those Boks are.
Yeah, those. I think those are Boks.
I think they're pumps. They look like pumps.
Yeah, I can see the pump. Yeah, you can see
wearing
the pump.
Pumps. Anyway, so okay, what I'm looking at here, everyone, and if you go to our Twitter and Facebook in the comments of the show, you can see what I'm looking at too. But it's Vincent K. McMahon. Sitting down on a lovely black or brown Davenport, full-size three-seater couch, Davenport. Really ugly pillows look like wallpaper in the Royal Palace.
Yeah.
Don't they? They look like wallpaper.
Yeah.
Just atrocious, like, lamps. Like, they have the lamp, like a genie's lamp. You know, they have the handles. It's like a lamp. There's handles on the sides of the lamp.
Yeah.
It's a lamp.
Yeah, it's a lamp.
Got two of those. We won't talk about the photo yet, the picture, the portrait yet. But he's sitting. It looks like a plate of jelly, but I think it's a magazine next to him. It looks like a plate of jelly, though. I think it's a magazine. He's reading a magazine. He's got books down by his feet, but we haven't talked about what he's wearing. And he's got, like we said, what looks like Reebok pumps on.
Yep.
He in a full tracksuit, unzipped, got a nice black shirt on, rippling muscles under there, you know it. But the tracksuit is like, I mean, Mike, I'm glad you showed me this Vince McMahon picture in Black History Month, because I feel like the tracksuit's appropriation is what I feel like it is.
Yeah.
Do you think? Because I feel like it's something Arsenio Hall, it's comfortable with him, but as soon as Vince puts it on, you're like, oh, buddy, why are you wearing that? I don't know what the pattern is. But it's fun.
I don't know. Yeah, this is Vince just like lounging at home. Just like a
You've
regular.
You've never seen Vince ever in this outfit.
No. This is just what he wears when he wants to like just take it easy, you know?
He's got a giant dog, which the dog is overweight. I can tell you that. Which I know because my dog's kind of overweight for a weenie dog and shares the similar shape of just a solid two. There's no. I mean, you can still see Ingrid's ribs and stuff when she breathes, which is good. But this dog is just, I feel like it's photoshopped in, right? It doesn't look like it's there.
This dog looks like a Subway sandwich.
This dog, you think he's like massaging
huge,
his butt?
It's like, yeah, it looks like a huge Twinkie.
I think he might be noshing on a bone there, too. He's got his paws are kind of faced in the way that what Ingrid does, where they hold a bone.
Yeah.
It's just Vince and his good buddy just eating a bone, reading some kind of magazine. Probably a muscle magazine.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
He's got I see a TV remote there. You can barely see it. It's next to his, under his hand.
The remote. And you got the, those are actually cassettes. Those are VHS cassettes.
Oh, they're not books.
They're not
right.
Books.
They're
cassettes.
So we have a Disney movie there with the giant bubble casing in the middle, the white bubble casing. You remember that?
Yeah, it didn't only have to be Disney. It could be any. There are lots of movies had giant bubble casings, my friend.
Anytime distributors wanted to, you know, cut people's fingers open, they're like, put it in the bubble wrap, put it in the bubble casing. Listeners, Mike and I are almost 40. And we remember these VHSs. If you don't, man, cracking into Little Mermaid, man, good luck.
That was a trial by fire. That was a trial by fire. You had to really want it back in the day to watch a movie, you know?
Okay, so I mentioned earlier, we won't talk about it yet, but now we have to.
Yeah.
Let's draw our eyes back to the furthest background area of this picture. It's a portrait.
Yeah.
A portrait that looks to be based off Vince's height. About a 4 foot, 4.5 to 5 feet tall portrait, about 3 feet wide.
Yeah.
Of himself.
Yeah.
In just the douchiest white polo.
Yeah.
V-neck white polo. Or it's unbuttoned. Yeah, pal. It's unbuttoned. See my chest.
Yeah.
Do you see the lines where my pecs meet, pal?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
And then he's doing the pose that makes you look thinner than you are. Yeah. That's the natural, the waist turn pose.
Yeah.
What's he got in his hand? Is that a hammer in the left hand across his leg? He's holding something.
I have no idea what that is.
It's something, though, it's right? Something. He is holding something.
I think he is holding something. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the photo's so low quality. You zoom in, it just makes it worse.
Really? Yeah. It actually hurts you to zoom in.
It might be just the lens and the way the lamps and the way the camera's probably shooting a flash or whatever. Yeah. But it looks like his face is the same color as the background of the sky. It looks like he's got the worst. He looks like the Human Torch. Let's be honest.
I mean, also the flesh tone. It just him sitting on the couch is not that far off from what we see.
It's not. It's an accurate portrait.
It's pretty close.
photographer. I wanted this on the best day, Sunday, pal. I'm coming home from the salon, the tan salon, huh? I got a fresh coat, huh? It's gonna match the portrait, pal, huh? You gonna puke, huh?
No, Mr. McMahon, I just wanna look. If you could just pay for your pizzas, that would be great, because I have other deliveries to make.
Oh, all right. You want a tip, huh? You want a tip, pal, huh? Here's a tip. Tip for me. Tip. You want a tip? Open the thing.
It's like 35 cents too. Like, it's such a terrible
tip.
He
thinks it's a lot.
Yeah.
Here you go. Spend it on bubblegum.
Buy yourself a comic book.
But yeah, it's shithouse. It's like seven different shithouses. The dog is shithouse. Yeah. The outfit shithouse. The Reeboks are shithouse. The loose VHSs are shithouse.
Yep.
The identical symmetrical lamps are shithouse.
Yeah.
And actually, I think the pillows are also symmetrical, because I think he's leaning on a fourth pillow.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, you're right.
The whole thing. Yeah, it's definitely shithouse, and I'm glad you shared it with me, and I hope people get to see it and love it much as I loved it.
Fantastic. Yes. Okay, one for one. You got one for me, though, yeah?
Yeah.
Pal? All right. This is a tweet, the caption of which says, "Devs watching QA test the product."
Quality assurance.
So I guess that's developers.
Yeah, so the QA, so the developers are watching the QA testers.
QA testers.
Test their product, basically. All right, so verdict.
It's great.
What happened in that video? Yeah. Explain what happened and tell me if it's shithouse or not.
Okay, so we had a split screen. There was a gentleman who was playing with this like toy, which is a bucket with a lid that has various geometric shapes cut out. And then you have blocks that match up to each of the geometric shapes. You got a square, you got a circle, you got a triangle, you got an arch, you got a semicircle, and you have a tiny thin rectangle.
I like the tiny rectangle. Yeah. Like, why is it so tiny?
Yeah, it's tiny. Yeah. As she's watching him test this toy, the first few he gets correct, and then after a while he just starts stuffing every one of them into the square hole.
because they all fit
in the square. And she's becoming more and more distressed each time, and I loved it. I thought it was fantastic, and it was definitely shithouse. Yes. Shithouse.
Good. I've been sitting on that for a while. I've never had a reason to use it. I had for Black History Month, I had the whitest shithouse I could find, but it got pulled down, so I couldn't share it with you. But this was a good backup, I thought.
Okay, this really delivered. It was a slow burn.
It's the acting really puts it over the top, you know? It's the right in the middle when the triangle goes in the square hole that really really breaks apart.
I know. And she does, like, yes, her world breaks, and she's like, wait, what things are different now?
It is cool, though, if you think about it. I don't want to get too heady here, but, like, it is, like, a kid that would problem solve that way.
Yeah.
It's probably pretty fucking smart, because they're like, this is an easier way to do this. I figured it out, an easier way, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't do it that way.
No, I'd probably be like, oh, the triangle's in the
triangle. Triangle. Perfect. That's what's supposed to happen. You're not supposed to break the rules.
Right. You can't break the rules.
You got to color inside the lines. That's why we're not working. We're not building spaceships and stuff.
Anyway, I just heard a noise. That means you just sent me another shithouse. This is from Rex Chapman. We love Rex Chapman. Who is Rex Chapman? I don't know who he is.
The legend of Rex Chapman, former NBA player Rex Chapman.
I thought he was a basketball player, but okay, so this makes sense. This young man is from the Dominican Republic. This dunk is spectacular to begin with, but look closely. He has one arm. Oh, shit!
That's how you do that.
I want to see that fast. Is there a fast version? Because it slows down in the video, folks. It's the right leg is what I'm most impressed with. The way it like, because we're looking front on, so it's like not 2D, but we're looking straight on. But his right leg does like a weird spin over the arm. I gotta watch it again.
Yeah, I'll watch it again because it's a bounce and he catches it between his legs, and it's basically also a 360 dunk.
Yeah.
It's extreme.
And he's also sort of palming the ball, too, to not leave his hand when he goes from... Because he's doing a weird momentum shift to get it up, get his hand hooked up. Yeah, it's shithouse. Cool. Everyone, it's a one-armed fella from the Dominican Republic just coming in hard in the paint. I know the terms. He's playing in the paint, Mike. He's out there in the paint.
Yeah, he's out there basketball in the paint. In the paint, yep.
He ducks the fuck out of that ball. Yeah, shithouse for sure.
Cool. Yeah. I thought it would be too. Man, he almost hits his fucking head on the rim. God damn. That's awesome.
Yeah, the because he has to change his angle for that spin when he's in midair.
Yep.
And he shifts his body weight to the right, I think is what would do to get him. Yeah, that's fucking cool. Yeah, it's great. It's fucking cool. I like it. It's getting better and better.
Poetry in motion, man. Super, super good dunk. Also very very cool that you're doing all that with one hand.
Yeah.
You know, like that takes a level of coordination plus athleticism that I could never possibly hope to understand.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like being so in tune with I sound so cliche, with the instrument you're given, you know.
Yeah.
This is the body he has, and this is what he's familiar with, and just using every aspect of it just to make fucking poetry in motion, like
perfect.
You said. It's fucking great.
It's perfect.
Before, actually, do you hear that?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think. But when I'm. Oh, wait, there. What is that?
Bose notes. It's a tiny version of Bose notes.
It's
not very big. There's only three notes.
Second verse.
Don't worry, Mike. It's not long notes. Okay. Bose notes. It's a shorter version of Bose notes. There's only three notes. There's not a lot of notes. So don't worry, Mike. There's only three notes.
All right. Only
Bose notes. Everybody loves Bose notes.
Okay.
Mike, today I bring you three bulleted notes. I don't know if you got that. I have three notes for you.
Yeah, no, I heard it in the song. I got it. I was listening to the lyrics. It was very, it was creative.
It took me about 4 minutes to gather these notes and about 20 minutes to write that song. So, okay. Bose Notes Mini. Pack short whipping Anderson into the ropes into a snap German suplex is a fucking dope move, and I want to see it again. It was in the main event, Dynamite. These three notes come from the main event of Dynamite.
Okay.
You remember that though? He whips him and then just grabs him low, snap, pop.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Anderson.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I like that a lot.
When Ray flips, it's like his boots have weights. His knees move so fast. Like the way he's like his counterbalance. Whenever he does moonsaults,
he gets
the full spin so quickly that it's scary when he lands. Like he just like there was one that he did towards the audience, a moonsault off the top.
Yeah.
And he like the full flip was done before he was even near the tops of the heads of the people catching him.
Yeah.
He was so fast. So I made it like, does he have weights in those? Yeah, you get it. And then the last note, Mike, is.
You get it. Just get it, man. Hey, man, just get it, man.
The last note is, what a fantastic main event. That's the note. I just said it was fantastic.
Okay, wow, what a segment.
Bose notes. Now we're wrapping up Bose notes. Put the thing in the bag and throw it away. Take the notes that you listed down and throw it away. Put them in the garbage. There are bad notes. Three of them and they're garbage notes. Bose notes is done. Woo. We got matches to watch unless you have a surprise segment.
No, I don't have a surprise segment at all. I think that let's just go ahead and move on to the matches. We'll let you know what those are right after this quick word from our sponsor. We remember you and me, the Stark's Hunger, Chevrolet and Ford Emporium. So come on down to me, the Stark's Hunger, Chevrolet and Ford Emporium. Boy, it gets better every time I hear it. It's fantastic. I meant to tell you, last week and probably the week before too, I went ahead and signed a contract with Ricky Stark's Honda, and so that the jingle, which I still like, I own the jingle. That's not an issue. So we have royalty rights on the jingle. I made sure not to give those away. But it will be the song will be playing every once in a while on the show. It's like sort of a multi-month, multi-tier kind of a deal where the more we play it, the more sponsorship money can come in from Ricky Stark. So,
I just want to air your dirty laundry out here. But you've actually have mentioned this almost on every episode. You say you haven't brought it up, but you have. And I have noticed actually when I listen back to the episodes, I don't edit the ads in there, but they're making it in there. The Ricky Stark's ad has shown up a few times.
Yeah.
In like a long one and a short one, and I'm not putting them in there. So I don't know if you have some weird ad algorithm you have going on the back end.
Yeah, dude. No, I'm just kicking it over because I know when you're done, and then I grab him out of the Dropbox and I just kick it over to Kevin because he's good audio, like video audio guy, editor, whatever. Yeah. So he's doing me a solid and just kind of sliding him in, and he's going to get a cut off of the royalty fees.
Does he have access to the Dropbox, Kevin? Does he have like... I just want to be clear. Is this the same Kevin?
He does. He has access, but he just always forgets that he does. And so I have to send him the link over and over and over again because he's he's got a lot of, he's high a lot of the time, you know?
He's got a lot of irons in the fire, which, means he's high all the time. Yeah. He's
a lot of ins and outs with Kevin. He may need his. $600 back.
For the Leaf car?
Yeah. He says that the car was a real lemon, and so he kind of
my main concern with that is that when I moved to get away from Kevin, I used the $600 as a deposit for the new place, the unmarked, unpostmarked apartment that I live in now. So I already kind of spent it. It's tied up. It's tied up with the property owner is the problem. Well, I don't know, dude.
You get that back. Just move it. You just move out of your place. You'll get it back.
Right.
And then, and then Kevin won't have to, like do anything, and that'll be great. So
if I do this, will the Ricky Stark ads stop showing up?
No, those are in no matter what forever. Well, not for, I don't know about forever, but for quite a long time. I don't know. I didn't read every single little tiny sentence in the agreement that I signed.
Speaking on that, I really hope in the future you do kind of come to me. We can talk about it as like a duo about the contract instead of just signing contracts. You know, like we could talk about it before. It's no big deal. I just for future stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, I just thought since I had power of attorney that would naturally fall to me, that I would be the one that would kind of, you know.
I knew giving that to you when we first signed on to get you to do the show, I'd be like, you can please do the show. You're like, no. I'm like, you can have power of attorney. I knew that would bite me back in the, it would bite me in the ass. And it's happening right now.
Shit. I don't think so. I think that this is a great deal. And I'm really looking forward to making a lot more business decisions in the future. So
a lot more solo duo business decisions, which is a business decision for a duo, but it's
that's how our partnership works. We delegate tasks, right? Like you edit the podcast, I write the music for the podcast.
Yeah.
You are the face of the friendly face of the program that everyone loves. Sure. And you do all the social media posting, and I am I'm a pro wrestling fan. And there's a lot of different things that each of us kind of takes care of that the other one doesn't really do a lot of. And so, like, I just figured this, like, I would take care of the business side of it where, you know, I'm trying to, because this is a fun show to do, and we do it for us, we do it for the listeners, and, like, it's a pure thing, but also it'd be nice to make a little bit of skrill.
You're a big capitalism guy.
On this project, and, you know, I'm a big capitalist, so.
Yeah, he's a big if
cap head over,
you know,
here.
If listening to our show to get the canon, to get the lore all correct, if in your past episodes you've listened to those, you will gather that Mike is a huge cap head. He's a huge CH.
Yeah, big CH. I know a lot about money, so like this is natural that I would be the one that would be making the deals and kind of trying to take Tope to the next level. You know,
well, I'll see what I can do with the money, and we'll talk to. I'll get it to you. You can talk to Kevin. I don't want to talk to him, but we'll figure that out. But before that, what's the first match you have?
So the first match I have is actually, unfortunately, not a full match because I couldn't find the full match, and it really kind of
old as shit is what it sounds like.
It kind of broke my heart because I was so looking forward to what. But I do have some footage. I could not find it on the WWE Network.
Okay.
But this is a tag team title match between the champions Afa and Sika, the Wild Samoans, and the challengers are Mr. USA Tony Atlas and Soul Man Rocky Johnson, who is, of course, the father of The Rock. And this is notable because this is the first instance of an African-American tag team, or I guess I should say African-North-American tag team, because Rocky Johnson is actually Canadian.
Right.
Yeah. But a black tag team winning the World Tag Team Championship. This is, I believe, the first time that ever happened. And I've seen like little snippets of the celebration and stuff. And it's always something that's mentioned. But I thought since we lost Rocky Johnson earlier this year.
Yeah. When was that? Was that like not 4 or 5 months ago, right?
No, I think it was like, it was like a full, actually like a full year ago, because I believe it was January of 2020 and The Rock posted about it and, you know, had a nice tribute to his dad, and
yeah,
it was cool.
My apologies. 2020 was a blur. I thought that happened in like October.
No,
you know?
I mean, I don't. Yeah, man, 2020 is tough. So
yeah,
you know.
But yeah, awesome. Where is this, and what's it at again? What year?
Okay, this is 1983. I believe it is taped in November, but it will air in December. It aired on, yes, tape delay on, I believe, December 10th, 1983, on WWF Championship Wrestling.
What was that? Was that like a Saturday morning kind of thing?
Actually, I don't know, because I probably would find out more about it, but I don't think I could find a Wikipedia page about it. And also,
it's not on the network. It's got to be.
There's
obscure,
no,
you know?
There's no mention of this program on the network. Wow. So yeah, I don't know. But I am really looking forward to watching it, and it is a Daily Motion link. You can find it in our social media feed where all social media is sold. And
it's fed. It's all fed there.
There you go, Bo. There's a link, my man. So we hope
so
that
are these
you,
ones. Yeah. Oh, go.
No, I was just going to say, we hope that they watch along with us. It's not going to be an actual watch along, but I hope that you watch the match. And so you can like have fun talking as we talk about it after.
Pause the show. Watch the match. Come back and join us here in a second. How long was it again, you think?
That was like five minutes of actual.
I feel like it was shorter
action
than that.
Maybe like four or five. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but it is nice to actually get to see the end of the match and see that moment and see the reaction from the crowd, mm-hmm. which was just
the hot. Yeah.
Oh,
the hot tag with Tony alone.
Yeah. The crowd was so hot for it. They loved it.
I wonder if we can like make this our quest to find this full match. Like, ooh, this is our 2021 ultimate quest.
I
we'll
like
get it to
that.
Our listeners as well. If you can find this match in full at whatever, what was this event called again?
Link it. Yeah, link it up to us. The event was WWF Championship Wrestling, filmed on November 15th, 1983, aired December 10th, 1983. That's the Wild Samoans defending the WWF tag titles against Rocky Johnson and Tony Atlas, aka Soul Patrol.
I wonder why it's not on the network, you know? Maybe the footage might be just lost, and like this is all there is left of it, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I hope that I hope it exists, and maybe it does, and maybe it's easy to find, and I'm just bad at the internet. You know,
That's also, I mean,
could be.
You're the first one to admit it. That could be a true thing. You'd just be bad at the end. We're going in chronological order, which means Mike's next match is next. Mike's second match is next, and my two matches will end the show. So what do you have for us today? We can talk. Well, actually, there's not much more else to say about that match, right?
Oh,
because it was so.
It was really fun, and like it really made me feel good to see a wrestling crowd that excited. Very similar to when Ron Simmons wins the world title, like how hot that crowd is. And that
one boy is that fucking just, bum rushes the fucking front of the row.
They love it. Yeah, yeah, and it has a special feel to it because. Yeah, white Americans cheering for black athletes is not something that
and Samoan as well. And like only dude that's white's Lou technically and the ref, but there's four people of color.
Yes,
in there,
the referee very white, very white that referee. And so that it's
crumbled like a box of crackers, like a box of saltines. He was so rough when he got hit.
Yeah, man, what a ref bump. Just beautiful stuff. All right, so I just think it was really fun, and it's classic pro wrestling, and made me feel good to watch it.
So what's next?
What is next? Great question. I have an event from WCW called Capital Combat from 1990. The headliner tonight will be Lex Luger and Ric Flair in a steel cage for the NWA Heavyweight Championship. But for the NWA World Tag Team Belts, Doom, the team of Doom, which if you're not familiar, that's Ron Simmons and Butch Reed in very cool gear and very cool masks. taking on the Steiner brothers. And Teddy Long is their manager, the Doom.
Very cool. Is there any titles involved in this one?
Yeah, it's the World Tag Team Championships, the NWA World Tag Team titles.
Who has them again?
The Steiners do.
Cool.
Yeah. So if you want to scope it as well, it's on the WWE Network. They don't want you to see it, so you're going to have to dig a little bit. They don't want you to watch, but you can find it. It's WCW Capital Combat 1990. This is Doom taking on the Steiner Brothers for the NWA World Tag Team Championships, and we'll see you after we watch.
We got to talk about this match right now, Mike.
I thought it was going to be good. I had hoped it was going to be good. I didn't know it was going to be that good.
You didn't know it was going to make it onto our next Shitacular. It was so fucking shithouse.
It was so shithouse and so physical. It was great.
That match ruled, and the outcome was exact opposite of what I thought it was going to be. You know, because I was in this mindset of like, okay, the Steiners are the champions. They're gonna keep those belts.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fine. They're the faces in this. They're white hot.
Yep.
Why would they take it off them?
Yep.
Well, it does make sense because obviously more money in the chase, but Doom wins it. And the crowd, Mike, so hot. They hated that.
Well, yeah, man. I mean, it's like it was right after Rick got that hot tag off the Frank. Scott did the Frankensteiner.
Yeah.
And then it was like, okay, here we go. This is the Steiners. They're going to close the show. You know, they got all the momentum.
I even said that. I was like, here, he did the scoop slam or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, it's over. Here's the go home.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And it was the go home.
I love that finish too, where Teddy gets a little referee distraction. You get a little illegal double team in the corner. And then he just fell on him from the second rope. Like they were both on the second rope. And I think it was Butch just all of his weight on top of Rick from the second rope. They just like both fell together and it like knocked Rick unconscious. Like, I love that. It's so not fancy, you know?
Yeah, it's just it's messy. And I think also in the match we just watched, so we're going to rate this match. We're not going to rate the first match because it was half a quarter of a match.
Yeah.
But equally, I forget what I was saying, but I'm relating it to that chair shot in that first match that we saw.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was just messy.
Yeah.
Sloppy.
It was.
Great.
Yeah.
It's because, you know, we, like I said, concussions, painkillers. We didn't worry about any of that stuff back then, you know?
No.
We're worried about tossing your meat around and then the next morning feeling like shit.
Man, I feel like I really tossed my meat around last night. God. Oh.
You gonna toss that meat around, pal?
He's gonna puke.
He's got a cold cut.
It's his new butcher gimmick. Anyway, that was great. Do you have a rating for this match?
Yeah, baby. I gave this 95 out of 100 kibbles and bits.
Woo! Why?
Because it was down and dirty, nothing fancy, just a big old bag of dog food, man. Like that giant 700-pound bag of dog food that you get at the Winco or whatever on the very bottom shelf. And it's just like way too heavy for your kit.
You can't push the cart because it pushes the wheels into the ground.
Yeah,
it's so
like,
heavy.
Yeah, it breaks the cart. Like your kid can't. It's physically bigger than your child. But it's like super affordable. And it's just... it gets the job done, and your dog is like big and strong, you know, when you feed your dog this food. It's not so much that the food is real fancy and like, ooh, it's got this and that in it or whatever. It's just a lot of it. And the dog eats a lot of this food and it's made him a big shithouse dog. It's like Vince's dog in that photo. Yeah, 95 out of 100 kibbles and bits. What about you, my man?
I think I give this one 4 out of 4. It's a good word for just giant men. 4 out of 4. 4 out of 4 sweaty hosses.
Ooh.
4 out of 4 sweaty hosses. Bringing down one solid house fire. 4 hosses making a house fire. Yeah, it was just, I think I even commented while we watched, it's like, look how sweaty all these guys are. Because they're just glistening, throwing each other around. It was great.
So many good spots where somebody gets knocked out of the ring. Like it happens like 7 times. And every single time, it looks like the person is dead.
It's through the middle ropes like 4 times in that match. And that's, it just looks more violent because they're collapsing, you know, they're not flipping over a top or rolling out under they're just collapsing through the middle.
Yeah. And you get that rebound from the ropes where they like snap back and it just looks very violent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
All right. We got 2 more matches, everyone. They're the ones that I brought. We're moving on in years. We're now the next year. We were just in 1990. Now we've hit 1991. And this is the first ever WCW Super Brawl, which I believe is an event that they made to counteract WrestleMania. I think they wanted it to be one of their big things. So this is the first Super Brawl.
Okay.
And it's a cage match.
Oh, well, all right.
Of 2 men we just saw, Ron Simmons versus Hacksaw Butch Reed. Rest in peace, Mr. Reed.
Rest in peace, Butch. Yeah, this is the implosion of Doom, presumably.
It's actually called the Doom Cage Match, I think is what it's called.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think you are correct. So again, everyone, it's on the WWE Network, soon to be Peacock, if you're listening to this after March. Who knows how that's going to work? We'll figure out that later. I sure hope Mike can watch the screen share with sound when that happens. I don't know Peacock's rules. But yeah, you can find it on the network. It's buried, like all the WCW pay-per-views are. But you'll find it. Just search Super Brawl. It's the first one. Mike, how do you feel about that slobber knocker?
Hey, that's exactly what it was, man. And also, what a finish. Love the finish to that match. Something really gets my blood going when I see a big impact move that gets a pinfall, like a spine buster, a power slam or something, where it's just like, oh yeah, yeah, you fucked another guy up. Like, that guy is fucked up.
When Mike sees a sidewalk slam, specifically Simmons's sidewalk slam, he likes to see the soul of the opponent leave their body as their spine hits the canvas.
Yeah, it's really, it's good. And Ron is up there in terms of guys that could really hit a spine buster and make it look devastating, you know?
Because you have Arn Anderson's, right, where they both leave the ground.
Yeah.
But Ron's is more like he kind of almost lifts you up like a power bomb and then just one arm you just,
just fucking.
And then I think I saw a gif. I think Booker T did one too, which is kind of to pay homage to Simmons.
Oh, okay.
Which is still just because Booker T's also really tall. So when you get him up there and then fucking plant him down on their back, it's really fucking cool.
Yeah. Love that match. Love that match.
Do you have a? I have a rating for it.
Oh yeah, no, bring it. I went first last time. Yeah.
My rating it falls in line with that move. It was 1 out of 1 sidewalk slams because I think it might be my favorite. No offense to Arn.
Yeah, well, the move's a spine buster though.
Whatever. It's the same action though, right? It's the same result.
Sidewalk slam is when you pick somebody up like you're gonna do a backbreaker, but instead of dropping your knee,
they're hitting the ground. It's fine. It doesn't matter. Anyway, what I'm saying is that when the move happens, their spines shatter. Both moves, spines are broken.
Uh huh.
But I think Ron's shattering potential is greater
because of the velocity, like the acceleration.
Because it's a different move, and you know, I'm not a wrestling historian. Yeah, sure, Arn, but we're gonna go back to Arn. He leaves the ground, and so he's not pushing, right? They're just falling together.
No, but Arn's weight is also falling on top of them. Like his shoulder is.
Yeah, I know Arn's a big guy.
Falling now, into there. Yeah.
Then my defense, as you pick it apart, my defense now is that Ron can put more strength and power in his push.
Yeah.
Than Arn can with just momentum of falling.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, then, you know, I think that you have a fair point. It is a different kind of a move. Arn's feels more like ribs and ribs are crushed. The wind is totally driven out of someone.
Because his chest is on their ribs when he falls.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Ron's feels more like when, you remember that time when Enzo's head hit the rope and he just went unconscious? That fun moment.
When Gotch tried to kill him.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Yeah, that's.
I don't mean
that's,
to laugh, but Enzo sucks. Yeah, I'm sorry.
He sucks.
Brain damage is bad.
Enzo sucks. But so it's like the crazy. It's like when you pass out from G forces when you're training to be an astronaut and you're getting in the simulator and you're going so fast that you lose consciousness. That's like the speed that Ron's able to generate when he picks you up and then throws you down on that spine buster. So I get what you're saying.
Both results are your spines are fucked, opponent. Your spines are fucked. But I love that. What's the score you give this?
Oh, yeah, man. I gave this one 3 out of 3. What do you got in the back of the hardware stores? Like, I don't have a lot of, like, I forgot my, I've only got, like, $17 on me, and, I'm building a deck. Can you help? I see you've got this stuff up here. That's like the nice stuff. What I want is the stuff. Do you have any shitty stuff in the back that nobody wants that maybe you could sell to me at a discount? Because I'm trying to build this cage.
I'm trying to put these clamps together.
I got a bunch of clamps, so...
At least I think they're clamps. I'm not quite sure. They might not be.
I don't know exactly what they are. But the things I need are, I need a chain link fence, very tall, 4 sections, and a rusty chain, and a really shitty padlock. That's what I need for my project.
I need a padlock that looks like it's been sitting in the rain for at least 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah, something that where like you have the right key, but you're not even sure if it's gonna work because the rust
is hard
to
get through.
Yeah.
Makes a crunch noise as it spins when you unlock it. Yeah.
Yeah. So 3 out of 3 of those.
Great. That sounds horrible, but no, that means it's a good thing.
Oh,
it's good.
Yeah,
it's good.
Man. No, just the vibe. You know, the vibe of it was very
dirty bar bathroom.
Yeah, like you could like when Ron got busted open, it's like, oh yeah, of course he got busted open. It's this dirty, disgusting metal cage. Like, yes, Mike, obviously.
It's 1991.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's a dirty 90s, gross 90s shit.
Yeah. Good cage, good match, good wrestlers.
Final match. And we really hope you guys are pausing it, watching the matches, coming back with us. We have one more. And this one, we're moving into, you know, the new Willennium.
Yeah.
Big Willie style came out. Willennium is hot in the year 2001, where we're at.
Ooh.
SummerSlam. I haven't seen this match. No, I may have seen this match right before I quit watching wrestling.
Okay.
SummerSlam 2001. Booker T, the champion from WCW, fights The Rock.
Okay.
For the belt, I believe, or for the world championship.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was still, I think at that point, I think it was still called the WCW championship.
I think so too, yeah.
But it was the big gold, the famous big gold belt, the original. Not the remake.
Mm-hmm. And Booker T is one of the few WCW carryover fellas that actually had success. Huge success in the WWE. So this will be a fun match. I feel like I've seen it, but who knows? Everyone, it's at SummerSlam 2001. It's the main event.
Mm.
It's there, right on the network. You can find it. It's easy because it's a WWE pay-per-view. It's easy to find. we hope you watch it. We'll be right back after we do. All right, Mike. That match, Booker T versus The Rock. How do we feel about it?
I feel like it was sort of like, but it was Booker T versus The Rock, but it was also Shane McMahon versus the world. Shane McMahon versus physics and like his body, you know?
Yeah, I'm excited about next week's episodes. Shane History Month is what we're doing. It's all about Shane. Yeah. No, you're right. He was like zipping in and out that last, the ref pullout when he stopped the count. He jumped in and like did some weird like alligator roll after he pulled.
Good.
His
leg. We had a cameo by Ron Simmons there, making an appearance, an unexpected appearance. He's in three of the four matches in some capacity, and also an appearance by everyone's favorite wrestler ever, Mr. Bradshaw.
Yeah, when John showed up, biggest pop from Mike all night in all the matches when JBL.
Oh, baby. I didn't know. Well, it was a surprise. I didn't know we were playing. Is it Bradshaw? I didn't know. But I guess we thought that it was, we were doing a Black History Month special. Actually, what we were doing is playing Is It Bradshaw? Yeah. Turns out it was Bradshaw all along.
It's actually a ploy to talk about the whitest man on Bradshaw. The planet.
Bradshaw was inside of you the whole time. That's the
but no, I do like that Ron Simmons is a constant of all these matches. He's there. We talked about him winning the title at the beginning of the show. That just leads me to say that Ron Simmons is the MVP of this episode.
Cool. I think he is. Yeah, I think he is. Also, when we were talking about Harlem Heat, it made me remember we forgot to mention Street Profits at the top of the show.
And also Private Party.
And Private
about them
Party.
Too.
Yeah.
And also Ember Moon. There's so many.
Forgot to mention Ember Moon. Yeah, see, look.
Shaq. Shaq's a wrestler
Shaq's
now.
Shaq's in there now. Yeah, no, everybody. Dennis Rodman.
Red Velvet, who's fighting Lady Carville. Brandy.
Jade Cargill. Yeah, there's a lot of... Cargill, so anyway, yeah, let us know how everybody we missed, because clearly we just missed like 10 people and we're...
We're compiling the people we missed.
Yeah, we're compiling
we're
the people
matches.
That we missed. Yeah. I really enjoyed that match. I have a lot of ratings for
guess
this
Meltzer
one.
First. I'm only doing this one because it's a main event SummerSlam belt match. What did Meltzer give it?
Dave gave it 2.5.
You know what? I think you're correct, but it might be 3.5. I'm pulling it up right now.
No way, it's 3.5.
I think, though, you're correct, 2001. Just a solid 3. 3 minutes. No, it's 15 minutes, 3 stars. But the Kurt Angle, Steve Austin before that, we got to watch that. That's a 4.5-er.
Ooh, well, hello.
We have watched it.
Have we?
No, we haven't. Mm. No. Well, here we are. We're at the end. What'd you score that? Now that you know Meltzer's rating.
Oh, yeah, Dave gave it a 3, huh? Yeah, so I went ahead and gave this one a 11. Out of 12, told you we were better, pal. Told you we were better, pal.
We bought you, huh?
This is the...
Are you going to puke?
This
You're going to sell to us, huh? You're going to sell to us, pal?
This is like the epitome of the sad storyline post... the buyout where the alliance between ECW and WCW, like, it's just like dragging the old big gold belt around as the WCW title, like it meant something when it didn't. Like, eventually Jericho will win both titles at Survivor Series to become the unified undisputed champion.
Yeah.
But it's kind of cool, but also like, The Rock winning the WCW world title feels very wrong to me. Like, it feels weird.
I think I'm fine with it, but so soon. Like, maybe in the next year, if they could still, if some events somehow had the way to extend the story for an entire year of programming worth of WCW versus WWF, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't have Rock win the belt 4 months into the merger. Have him win it at the end of the storyline altogether. But this kind of does, you're right. If I recall, this does kind of fizzle out that, or it starts. I don't know where the ECW, WCW thing, like, against the WWF lives in the timeline. I know it's right about here because you can hear it in Paul Heyman's voice. He's on Booker T's side.
Yeah, it's here, and it all wraps up at Survivor Series.
Of this same year?
That's the, it wraps up at either Survivor Series or Invasion.
Okay, so, I mean, that does kind of track timeline-wise with what I was saying, though, so...
Yeah, it was a huge missed opportunity, big whiff, and I just feel like I feel bad for the WCW guys and women that just like, you know, Booker T persevered. He persevered.
Poor Buff, though. Poor Buff Bagwell. No one likes Buff. Poor Perry Saturn. No one likes Perry Saturn. You know, it's just like we do like him, but
sucks.
Yeah,
Saturn rules, dude. Saturn was awesome. All right. Well, anyway, that's mine. 11 out of 15, or I'm sorry, 11 out of 12. I told you we were better pals.
When I look at this match and the book with all the ratings, I actually have it listed here at page 82. It's 3 out of 3 Ron Simmonses because it's his third appearance and it had 2, but then I was going to give it 2 out of 3 if you remember when I wrote the review. It was 2 out of 3 Ron Simmonses. Yeah. And then we had forgotten that JBL and Ron show up, so we get that extra Ron Simmons. So 3 out of 3 Simmonses, and also on an ancillary score, 1 out of 1 JBLs. So 1 out of 1 JBL's clotheslines from hell were there. Spinebuster.
It's good, to see John. Really glad John made it into this episode. John. Yeah.
I'm glad that during that one ECW pay-per-view, John was there too in the stands. Remember that? He was there for that mystery episode.
Yeah.
He just, like Ron Simmons' appearance in all these matches, JBL just shows up on the show.
Yeah, he's just, he can't, he is one of those guys that just keeps showing up. You know, he's never invited to the party, but oh boy, he makes it there.
He makes it there, and he'll allegedly be shitting in someone's bag.
Somebody's bag will have it.
Human JBL poop in it.
Cool. All right, well, we have one more little thing to take care of, a little super-duper special business. So, Bo, I have to ask, since we're at the end of this spectacular... and excellent episode, I would say. What's wrestling?
Mike, I'm glad you asked, because wrestling is when you've kind of cut soda out of your diet, right? You've cut soda. It's smart to do that. But every once in a while, you're like, maybe I'll hit up a fountain drink of a Dr. Pepper. You know, a big, tall fountain soda. Out of fountain. It's out of fountain specifically because the carbonation is a bit different than it would be in a can or a bottle. It's kind of... It's partying. It's living in that little condensation. It's like, press the thing. Let me pour out into your cup. And I'm like, okay, Dr. Pepper. So it's like you haven't had one in a while, but then you do. Yesterday, maybe, you had one. And wrestling is when you know you don't have COVID because the flavor profile of this Dr. Pepper hits every single section of your tongue and you just taste it. Oh, you're like, baby, my taste buds are firing. I'm good. I don't have COVID. I can taste everything. This is great. And the bubbles are like, again, the party in the carbonation area earlier. Now it's a party on the back of your tongue. They went from the tube of the carbonation. They travel. They're like bar hopping, Mike.
Yeah.
The Dr. Pepper fizzes are like, we partied here at AM PM. Let's get in this cup and party in Bo's mouth now. It's the next stop on the party wagon. And they're there. They're just riding on my tongue, tickling me. I'm no COVID, tasting every flavor.
Yeah.
Swallow it. I swallow it down. It tastes so good. Wrestling is so delicious. And then you're like, you haven't had it in a while. Uh-oh, it's prune juice technically. Oh, no. And then you have to use the restroom badly. And baby, JBL just explodes out of your ass.
JBL is the fall. Okay, wrestling's the fall. The JBL fallout of drinking the 64-ounce Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, the wrestling we saw today was just that delicious Dr. Pepper. Then right there at the end, JBL showed up and I shit my pants.
Great. Yeah, great.
That's
great.
Wrestling, baby.
Baby. Mike, baby.
What's wrestling to you?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you in a minute, but I also love the idea of someone being like, being like, "Oh, I need you to get a COVID test," and you're like, "No, I don't. I'm good. I can taste my Dr. Pepper."
Oh, excuse me. No, you don't understand. No, you don't understand. I could taste every flavor, all 23 flavors.
I just had a Dr. Profile. Pepper. I could taste it fine. I'm good.
The Dr. Pepper didn't taste like ash. It tasted like delicious treat. So I think I'm good. What's wrestling?
Wrestling is the possibility of humans showing their like best instincts. Wrestling is a white audience in a society that is based on racist stuff, policies, and segregation and inequality, cheering for black wrestlers who are heroes. And
that one, I hate to interrupt you, but Mike, please. While we were watching privately the second match,
we
rewound into an audience because the audience was goofy looking. We're not going to lie. But also, it was all white and they were still all cheering. What match was that? Was that Ron Simmons, Butch?
Yeah,
match?
I think that was the Doom Steiners match. Yep.
And just it is good to see that kind of like love of even in a weird time where racism was even, I don't know, it's always bad. But sorry, my cat's doing stuff.
Luther over there trying to steal the show.
Never mind, I had a point. Go on.
Yeah, so white audience cheering for black heroes. And although you can use that, like take that as an example of and being able to say, well, see, it's, you know, racism is solved. Look.
Yeah.
Look at what's, you know, like that's not the... Clearly not the case, and that is not the takeaway that I have from this. It's wrestling is an area where people, in spite of themselves, can grow without knowing it. You know, without knowing that they're doing something that is making them better people by cheering for Ron Simmons. You know, on some level, I really feel like it is. It's very, very similar to like white sports in general can do that. But I feel like because you connect so hard with the personalities in wrestling, it's cool, baby.
I agree. I hate to keep talking about it because we normally wrap the show, but I think it's kind of what we were hinting on at the beginning about how like wrestling, because it's everywhere, you know, it's Lucha Libre, it's Japanese style. We get like opened up to different cultures that we maybe, sure, it's all under the guise of they're fighting in a wrestling ring, but you still kind of get opened up to different cultures. And I kind of like that melting pot of a sport.
Yeah.
That is professional wrestling.
So. Yeah. Cool. Great episode.
It was fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good.
If you want to talk to us about your favorite wrestlers, let us know. TopeSuicidaPod@gmail.com or hit us up on social everywhere at TopeSuicidaPod. Mike, you can find him on Twitter at Mike from TV and at Mike from Television on Instagram. And then I'm Bo Rosser everywhere. Also, before we get going, I do want to say Mike and I have another show we're doing. It's not going to be released yet, but it's called A Marvelous Idea, or Bo Baxter Rosser Presents A Marvelous Idea with Mike Whitman.
Yep.
It's all about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, me exposing Mike to some of that stuff that he hasn't seen. He's seen some of it. That's fun, too. Again, the episodes aren't live, but you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at A Marvelous Idea. And those shows should be out hopefully in the next couple months. So
love that. Hey, buddy, thanks for thinking of doing this episode, because I was, when you mentioned it, I was like, that's a fucking great idea. And definitely, you were the one who thought to do it. So good job. I'm glad. And I hope we can do it every year.
We're pros. We'll see you next week.
Okay.
Tope Suicida, What Wrestling Can Be, is a Knit Comedy Co-op production and edited by Mike Whitman and Bo Baxter Rosser. Thanks for listening.